Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples, telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he should be last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." I really am challenged by the choice of this gospel. You have juxtaposed the highest truth of our salvation next to the embarrassing small talk of the disciples. Jesus was probably walking in front of the disciples as a teacher would, so he probably didn't hear what the disciples were saying in their unworthy moments. These two sentiments, so different in content, have really caused me to struggle. I've never been a political hot ticket, so to speak, and so the manner of the disciples' conversation wouldn't have been, for me, would have been totally uncool. You just don't talk that way. Yet I remember the story from the Egyptian desert of a holy monk who was an example of spiritual perfection to all. And one day, a visitor sought him out for counsel, and on departing, offhandedly mentioned, "Oh, by the way, your brother was just made the Archbishop of Cairo." And the monk burned with jealousy. How we could be surprised. So in the light of my experience, I had to ask, what sort of issues in my life contrast so badly with the highest aspirations of the Christian life? The answer is fairly easy. I fuss when decisions are made without consultation. Case in point, the new translation of our text for worship. The glaring misuse of words, as when consubstantial in people's remembrance becomes consequential. And the Irish are once again saying grievous. I thought we were done with that. All the way to the double verbs in the prayers that lack nobility and simplicity. "Oh Lord, grant, we pray," and so on. What nonsense. What can you do? Well, I've recently been on the road, and I came across a celebrant who was sort of in his own world when leading a concelebrated mass. He slows down the words of consecration and then disrupts everyone else in his gestures that are so self-referential and so destroy the dialogue with the people. I'd like to start some conversations with him, but I'm not going to be here that long, and it wouldn't be appropriate or timely. But if he were around, I'd certainly be talking to him. Besides, I have my own rivers to cross. Like the disciples, I'm called from my own self-preferences to focus on the needs of the people of God and the remarkable mystery of salvation, which includes even me, and reaches out to the neediest persons of all. So when we pray, we need to focus on what is truly important. To make the journey the apostles had to make from foolish self-preference to the mystery of salvation. I need to remember this when I'm talking to people. We sometimes think that only professionals need a serious, demanding discipline in prayer and the highest sort of spirituality. Sometimes we ask too little. We all need to make the journey from our sometimes pathetic daily concerns to the central mysteries of all life, that the Son of God has become one of us, has suffered and died for us, so that we can join him in his life of joyful union with the Father. Jesus was not overly surprised that the disciples were arguing about who's the greatest. He didn't scold, but taking a child, he did the best kind of teaching by opening a surprising world of transformation to the disciples. We need such calling again and again. Recently, while preaching from a very high and elegant pulpit, I noticed several young men near the front of the church. If style was any indication, they looked a bit rough. After Mass, to my surprise, one of them greeted me and asked for prayers. "Father, will you pray for me? I'm too fat, and the girls won't look at me. I'm a cook." What did it cost that young man to speak with such candor? He's certainly one of God's own, and he can be assured of my prayers often. Food addictions, internet addictions, alcohol, sex, and worse. My compulsive need to rest in my own opinion. These, and the addiction to fame and success, like the apostles, even in such a small setting, they all imprison us, and we need to make fresh contact with the mystery of Christ's love for us, which raises us to unexpected experiences of life's richness. It's funny, but you just don't resolve these problems by retreating into some spiritual attitude that offers comfort. No, to grow in the Spirit, we need to engage our brothers and sisters and work through the illusions of our own excellence and talk our way through petty frustrations and selfishness. When I think of some of the exchanges I've had through the years, I have to laugh. I'm surprised that some of them only deepened friendship. One time, I was in the midst of an argument with one of my Dominican brothers. The issue was cars. He had continued to drive a car in the snow until the chains got wrapped around the axle. I was a superior and so responsible. But my position was, don't just leave it, get it fixed, for heaven's sakes. A little later on in the day, I was in the hallway, still quite agitated, and the door to the brother's room was open. And in a most authoritative voice, he called out, "Kieran, get in here." Well, I entered the room, ready for war, and no one was there. It seems his parrot had heard us going at it. Well, we all laughed at the moment, but it really set our differences in the proper perspective. Between the sublime possibilities of our calling and the foolishness of our self-imposed addictions, the Christian life takes place. What we need is the freedom to change, to grow, to laugh. Another word is salvation. I invite you today to leave all petty anxieties behind and to step into the world of Christ's freedom.